I had a dream that someday I would build the finest organization in professional sports and give it a distinct characteristic that's different from all others.
The Raiders are one of the most storied franchises because when you're a Raider, you are family.
Because those alumni guys, really, we still play through the Raiders, brag about them. We still don't want people to talk bad about them. Mm-hmm.
You were born to be a Raider. And ever since then, man, I've literally laid my life on the line for this organization. They've done nothing but support me and build me up. And so I owe my life to the Raiders.
Once a Raider, always a Raider. On the Morning Tailgate.
You are magnificent out there today. Yeah!
On Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Welcome back inside the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio, hour number three, and it is our favorite time of the week. Once a Raider, always a Raider, here on a Wednesday. And joining us now is a former member of the Silver and Black Defense, 10-year NFL veteran, Tahir Whitehead. Good morning, Tahir.
Hello.
Tahir, I guess first things first. You know, you hear that open, you hear the voice of the late, great Al Davis. We got to start off. Your 2 years with the Raiders, what memories jump out to you, and what makes this organization so special?
Hey, first and foremost, thanks for having me on. But I was connecting my headset, so roughly officially a minute to come in. But just hearing that is like it gives you chills, right? Like you watch the old videos, NFL films. You know, I didn't have an opportunity personally to meet Al, but, you know, what you hear from the other alums that did, that played for him, you know, when he was there, it's, you know it means something to him, to everyone that plays there. You know, it's a different type of mindset that goes into it, a different type of pride, even from the, you know, not just the players, but, you know, the fans, you know, Raider Nation is, you know, you look forward to every week going out there playing in front of them. Then you go on the road and think, oh, man, it's going to be a different energy. And then now they're on the road. So it's like they travel heavy, man, and I look forward to it.
Tahir, I'm so glad that we have you on the show today because I think you offer a very unique perspective. You were with the Raiders in 2018 and 2019. To say those were transitional years would be an understatement. John Gruden gets here, and there's basically going to be an overhaul of the roster, and you were brought in as a leader to help facilitate that transition. But there was a young player that was drafted in your second year with the Raiders by the name of Max Crosby, and obviously we know what Max Crosby's all about now. He's all world. He's just a remarkable football player. But I got to ask you, as a veteran player in 2019, could you see the makings of what Max Crosby has become that early in his development?
100% yes. And the reason being is not like you obviously see, you know, why they call him Mad Max, right? He goes out there, he runs around like his hair's on fire. High energy leader, you know, the whole nine yards, does it the right way. He's prepared, you know, don't have to worry about him off the field. But the thing is Max came in asking questions. He had no ego. He had no pride associated with doing what was going to benefit the team. And when I was there, he was just, you know, he made me feel like the old guy, like, man, I remember you in Detroit. I was in high school. I said, oh, hey. I said, okay. You know, let me know I'm the OG for real. But I always appreciated Max's energy because he was going to go out there and give you everything he had, and you knew that each and every week. But he asked the questions. And that was the type of guy I was. So when Max asked me, hey, you know, how do you last this long in the league? How do you take care of your body? I was like an open book. I was as transparent as I can be because, you know, not a lot of it took me by surprise because not enough guys asked, you know, a guy, hey, that's multiple years in the league, knowing what the average is, how they got there.
Tahir Whitehead here with us on the Morning Tailgate. What do you remember of playing in the Oakland Coliseum? Because once we had you on and we were talking about getting you on, a lot of people on the text line were remembering those days as you were like the leading tackler for the Raiders in the period you played in. What was it like playing in those home fans in Oakland?
It was intense. You know, you go out there, you go out. I felt, look, truthfully, it was times I kind of felt bad for the opposing team because, like, they was digging into them, man. But it, for me, I'm like, look, go ahead, do it. You know, get into the head. Make them, you know, worry about y'all and, the you know, the third downs, you know, get it cranking in there. It's loud. It's live, especially on the, you know, the national game. So, playing out there, you know, the history that went into it for me, it was, even when I was at, you know, in other places, we, you know, we had to go to the Coliseum. I look forward to it because the, all of the history that went, that was made on the field and just like the, I wanted to be a part of that. So when you go in there and you see the silver and black and they, you know, you see the costumes and they, you know, they bought in. So for me, that gave me or made me want to buy in even further when I went out there and played, because I'm like, hey, look, at the end of the day, the game is not the same when you don't have the fans involved.
So here, I know you've sat in countless film rooms, meeting rooms, defensive rooms, and you know, boiling down, okay, we need to stop this guy, right? We need to stop this guy. Well, the guy everybody seems to be needing to stop for the Raiders these days is number 89, Brock Bowers, setting a rookie tight end record for most catches in his first two games. I know it's a small sample size, but when you see, as a former defender and a guy who had to lock in on what the tight ends were doing, how special can number 89 be?
As special as he want to be, I put it that way, right? And he's having that early success, and to continue that success, he just has to keep his head down, keep grinding, not get distracted. And that's what you see from, you know, the guys that come in and, you know, they have some success, and then that goes to being good, and good goes to being great. And he has the metrics, right? You know, that's why, you know, he was brought in, you know, to do exactly what he's doing. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, is he continue to fine-tune, you know, his craft and add tools to his toolbox as he get more experience, he's just going to be an even bigger threat.
To hear, things are not going right, to say the least, with the Carolina Panthers. You played there 1 year, and you know, we just see that Bryce Young gets benched in favor of Andy Dalton. I feel like the organization has let Bryce down. I know he's not playing good football, and there's no question. Maybe the time away, being able to watch it from the bench for a little while, will help him. But I feel like the Panthers have let down Bryce Young. Where do you lie on who ultimately is responsible for things not working out with Bryce Young so far in Carolina?
I won't just, you know, it's not working out. It's just a matter of he's young, right? You know, and I think Tom Brady's been hitting. He hit on this on one of his. I saw him, you know, talking on stage not too long ago. Like, you know, quarterbacks, you know, they need time. They're being thrust into the action too fast. They don't have the time to grow like a lot of the good quarterbacks, great quarterbacks you'll see that's still playing the game or that's played for a very long time, like Tom Brady, like Aaron Rodgers, you know, even Drew Brees, guys like that that I've, you know, with Matthew Stafford, you know, guys that played the game at a high level a long time, you know, some of these guys, they've had opportunities to learn from others. You know, guys like Matt, he was thrust into action also. So you see guys have the success, you know. So I can't really put a finger on, you know, what the issue is. You know, only they'll be able to know that internally, you know, just know, understanding it from the other side. But, you know, it's a new staff. You know, it's a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts on their end. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's a hard worker. You see what he did. You know, Bama, and I think once they figure it out on their end, things will start to roll. But, you know, going into this game, you know, or that game with the Panthers, it's like, hey, let their problems continue to be their problems, and, you know, the Raiders continue to, you know, get rolling, build off the last week. It was a huge win, comeback win on the road. So, you know, that's where you got to – I mean, my focus is there. You know, just got to – they got to figure their stuff out, and in due time they will.
former Raider linebacker Tyer White here with us on Raider Nation Radio. When you think about the linebacker position, Tyer, what have you noticed about how it's evolved over the years, especially when people starting to think about, all right, linebackers in their extended year, their option year, if they're drafted as a rookie, how do you find like that position is now being valued? Because we're starting to see more of an advent of linebackers coming up with bigger plays each and every week.
Truthfully, it's the nature of the game, right? You know, we're in the passing league. You know, that's going to require guys to be more, you know, pass happy. You know, like, and from a defensive standpoint, you got to gear up and be more in tune on the pass. So now you're understanding route concepts. You're talking through things in that aspect where you're understanding the route tree. You understand where you need to be in coverage, eyes on the quarterback, melting this way when he looks this way, melting the other way when he looks the opposite, you know, how much depth to get on play action with your fast, your flow. You know, there's so many different factors, right? But when you're watching the film and you understand that that ball is going to be thrown and you get to your spot and you're an instinctive linebacker, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see the playmakers. You're going to see the guys high energy. You're typically going to see linebackers in those leadership roles, you know, and some people decide to go, you know, kind of linebacker by committee the same way the running back position is being done. But, you know, those guys are invaluable. You know, when you have a guy that's great in the locker room, you know, he's doing it all the right ways and he's productive on the field, that right there, you know, is something that, it's a sight.
Tyer Whitehead joining us, 10-year NFL vet. Last one, we'll let you go on this one, Tyer, because I feel like there was something in your voice when Clay was asking you about the Coliseum. I feel like there's a story at the tip of your tongue. Do you have a story that kind of jumps out at you from your time there, whether with the fans, whether with your teammates? Guys, you heard it too. There was something. Tahir's got something for us. What do you got?
Hey, look, what's that something you talking about? You sound like you're trying to be messing with me.
Man, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say they felt bad for the opposing team because the fans were just on them. That's fantastic.
Heck yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like that's the energy that you feel. Like when you see, like we used to have like those clippings and everything in the cut. You put the cameraman pan across the stands. And you see your people going crazy, rant. You know that some vile stuff being shouted. Their body intent, the eyes, the energy, painted face. You know that can't be anything nice that's being stated to the person that's playing for the other team. So for me, it's just knowing, you know, that that's the case, and knowing how, you know, on the road in the NFL game, you better be prepared mentally to get an earful. And make sure that you're not paying attention to the fans, because if you do, especially at the Coliseum, it was going to be a huge distraction, and they were going to get the best of you. And then in turn, then you know, on the field, you get the best taken of you that way as well.
Tyer Whitehead, former Raider, 10-year NFL vet, once a Raider, always a Raider. Tyer, thanks so much for joining us this morning, taking some time. Really appreciate it. We look forward to chatting with you down the road.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tyer Whitehead. That is great. That is just great stuff.
I thought he was going to talk about some dead skunk or something like that.
Because
there
are
a few of those.
We all know what he's talking about, just in terms of – but it's fascinating to hear a player say, man, I almost felt bad for the other team just of how impactful the nation – was and still is. Isn't that that's great stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's one of the great play, and you know, the Raiders need to do their part by winning, and that will turn Allegiant Stadium into literally just a huge advantage for the Raiders. By the way, he brought up a great point, and I did hear what Tom Brady was talking about. About how not only are quarterbacks being thrust in far too, way too soon before they're truly ready to be NFL quarterbacks, but he takes it a step further to how things are happening in college football, where quarterbacks are just transferring out if it doesn't happen for them immediately. And he brought up himself being at Michigan for four or five years or so and climbing the ladder.
Yeah,
but he goes, I wasn't just wasting my time. I was learning how to play quarterback. I was learning how to read coverages. I was learning about the short game. I was learning about the long game. I was learning about everything that it takes to be a quarterback. So the mental part of it, of learning the craft and practicing it. No, he wasn't playing necessarily initially when he got at Michigan. He eventually became the starter. But he was learning how to play quarterback, and he didn't just run from the situation to another situation just to try to get on the field as quickly as possible. He was learning his craft. Then when he got to the NFL, people think that that was his rookie year when he went to the Super Bowl. That was his second year. He sat behind Bledsoe that first year and learned and grinded it out so that when his opportunity did come, he was ready, as opposed to today where we're just going to get you in here right now. And sometimes there's something to be said for it, and sometimes guys flourish when they're given that opportunity, but oftentimes they don't. And then we blame it on them when it's really more about the development. And that's why, look, when you think about O'Connell last year,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason why he was the second-best rookie quarterback in the NFL last year. This is a guy who stayed at Purdue for, what, 6 years, I think it was?
Sounds right.
You know, and had to come all the way from, he was like the 9th or 10th, you know, guy on the depth chart to start out with. And again, didn't waste his time during those 5 years. He was learning how to play quarterback. So even though he might be limited in some of the skill set, he can't run necessarily like some of these guys, and whatever you want to call about that, that's a whole other issue.
Yep. Then
being ready and being mentally understanding of the quarterback position, which he was further advanced than some of the other younger quarterbacks that came in. So I'm with Tom. I think that this feeling that you got to just rush him out there, I think is doing guys a major disservice. And then you have the bounce back. Like somebody put a picture of Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield were in Carolina together.
It's crazy.
Together.
It's crazy.
And both got run out of town. And it wasn't necessarily their fault. The same thing happened with Sam Darnold in New York. He just wasn't ready, and the situation was horrible. Same thing in Carolina.
Yeah, that's why these situations, I mean, this is a, you
be
know,
careful
in,
with you.
In college, you're in this, and it's almost two different mindsets. Like in college, you're in this mindset where the player's like, I need to start now. I need to get going now. And if not, I'm going to jump from place to place. In the NFL, they say, okay, you're starting, and if not, you're gone.
You know what? Where NIL think is actually where I think NIL can help, and we've already seen it with Texas with their young quarterback Manning's Cooper.
Oh, Arch Manning.
Arch Manning. He's getting $3 million a year to learn how to play quarterback. 2 years of a process. Every time we see him, we see, whoa, this guy's going to be good, and eventually will be the Texas quarterback. But he's incentivized to stay.
To stay, yeah.
And he's making money.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? So these five-star quarterbacks out there, get your money, learn how to play quarterback.
And stay.
Be patient and stay.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a coaching change or something, then
yeah, I get that. But, yeah, there's got to be some stability at some
because
point.
Because what are these young quarterbacks thinking about ultimately, Vince? When
the
you,
NFL.
And money.
Well, they're money. Well, yeah. But,
money.
But now,
money.
What I was going to say is it was the NFL. But now you don't even need the NFL to make money.
And you
because
don't need
you probably
to
make more in college but than you would on your rookie contract.
And not only that, you don't need to run to a situation to get on the field as quickly as
right.
possible because
right.
you are still making money even while you're watching. So this should be something that young quarterbacks should really take advantage of so that you stay in a program. Again, coaching situation, whatever, that's fine. Or if you just get beat out by a guy that's your same
yeah.
year, okay, go find a better situation. Go find another situation. But there's value now in sticking it out, getting paid, learning how to play the position, biding your time, being ready when your time comes, and then going to the NFL as a much more complete prospect than what you're seeing right now.
When you remind everybody that Tom Brady was not in his rookie year when he got started, everyone should be shaking their head at Bill Belichick, wasting a year.
Super but Bledsoe Bowl. Is playing great.
A Super Bowl left on the table.
Bledsoe is playing great, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you're being, I know you're kidding around, but he went on to have a nice.
He's got a winery.
Right. He went on to play well with the Buffalo Bills. Like, he's a good quarterback and was having a great year before he got hurt. So, crazy. By the way, it is about money, isn't it, Clay? Sure. It's always about money.
It's also about Tudor's Biscuit World.
I know where you're going after work. You're going to find some biscuits somewhere, and I might join you there on that. But it does always come down to money in a lot of different ways, and maybe you're in a spot right now, a tough one, where maybe you need some cash. Maybe you need $500 or $5,000, and you don't know where to find it. Maybe you're sweating it out a little bit because the credit cards are maxed out. The credit's not where it needs to be. Don't worry, and I mean that, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now, cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Here's what you do. Go to LendingStore.com. That's LendingStore.com. Have their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 as early as tomorrow in your bank account. Rest easy. Just go to LendingStore.com for all the details.
In the NFL, at the moment, are Max Crosby and Fred Warner, right, for the 49ers, the linebacker. I think when you watch what those two have done, it's insane. I mean, what Max, again, in this scheme, and having Christian Wilkins, who occupies offensive coordinator's thoughts, playing on the same side, some of the games that they were running against the Ravens.
Lamar Jackson, first and 10 on his own 30 after the touchback. Shotgun, back to throw, eyeing the right, Crosby in his face, and he drives him to the turf at the 17. Crosby with his second sack of the game.
But the thing is, Max came in asking questions. He had no ego. He had no pride associated with what was going to benefit the team. And when I was there, he was just, he made me feel like the old guy, like, man, I remember you in Detroit. I was in high school. I said, oh, man. I said, okay, let me know I'm the OG for real.
That was former Raiders linebacker Tahir Whitehead joining us on Once a Raider, Always a Raider. And just before that, Steve Wyche of the NFL Network, both talking about Max Crosby. And it seems apropos at the moment because the Condor has landed his fifth career AFC Defensive Player of the Week award. By the way, the most by any defender in Raiders history.
Really?
Crosby now has 6 Total Player of the Week awards, 5 defensive, 1 special teams. Who would have thunk that? I'm going to have to dig that one up, yeah. See what it did on special teams.
There was a long time, like up even in 2021, he played a lot of special teams snaps.
Tied for That's the crazy. Third most total awards in franchise history with Seabass at 7 and the Hall of Famer Tim Brown. How about that?
Max, that's awesome.
Special teams. Now I need to dig up those stats. I'll have those. We'll get those for you tomorrow. But yeah, the Condor doing his thing. And in a battle between Condor and a bunch of Ravens, we saw who won in Baltimore, didn't we? And now we get another wounded animal, as Vinny likes to say. My mother-in-law loved that phrase, by the way. She listened to the podcast. Loved the wounded animal.
Hmm.
But you know, with wounded animals, backed in a corner, they don't like it.
Yeah, I just don't. They don't. But you can make a case for the Carolina Panthers have been a wounded animal for 3 years now. What are they haven't done anything about it, right?
So, hey, Tahir Whitehead was talking about the Oakland Coliseum, reminiscing, and we were enjoying what he was talking about with the fans and stuff. How excited are you guys to see what Allegiant Stadium is going to see, Clay? I mean, like, this is... obviously the home opener of the season, coming off a big win, but again, there's no real worry of an opposing
right.
fan base coming in and just kind of poaching these tickets or shading the stadium in any other way.
When you roll into the stadium and you see everybody tailgating, you won't see like that normal mixing of the colors, and you start to like, all right, is this 20%, 40%, 50% sometimes? Yeah. But I don't see Carolina Panthers traveling well. I just don't even see like Carolina Panthers, honeycombed fans in Southern Nevada showing up with their,
their
DJ Chark jersey. I just don't see it happening. So having that kind of atmosphere and also having the win that they did, I would almost feel like in the early portions of Sunday before kickoff, it's going to have kind of that playoff glow.
Yeah.
The excitement of having everybody in all at once and also having it in the house to yourself.
Antonio Pierce mentioned it. I believe it was after the game, maybe it was Monday, talking about getting back that home type feel. He talked about it during the open practices at Allegiant Stadium during training camp in the preseason, saying, we need to make this place a place again, or maybe for the first time in his eyes, a true home field advantage here in Las Vegas. And Vinny, I have no doubt that that's going to be part of the messaging to us, the media, as well as to his team about, hey, this is an opportunity. You talk about the planets aligning in a sense. We had a lunar eclipse last night. You talk about the planets aligning and things of that nature. Coming off a big road win, home opener, wounded animal that is ripe for the picking, a get-right game, put us back on notice, you know, just a feel-good type. This feels like an evolution of the franchise.
Yeah, and I feel like they need to take advantage this week. I think it's going to be a overwhelmingly Raiders crowd at Allegiant Stadium, and the Raiders have some responsibility to continue to make it that way. You win, the fans are not going to sell their tickets. The fans are going to be there supporting you. You give them a reason to want to support you week in and week out and make that place just a Raider-centric, Raider advantage. That's on the team itself to create that. Because I'll tell you this, next week when the Browns come into town, first time for the Browns at Allegiant Stadium, that is a fan base that travels. Mm-hmm. The Browns have a lot of support, so I'm wondering what that's going to look like on Sunday. So this is a game with, as Clay pointed out, not a rabid fan base. It's a nice fan base. But where they are in their journey, nobody's, I don't think, going to be making the trip out. It's not appointment watching right now for Carolina Panthers fans, unfortunately for them, but fortunately for the Raiders. So
a lot of boxes they can check, the Raiders. Right. There's a lot of boxes from the overall franchise to the bottom of that box, which is just getting a win, right? Mm-hmm. But there's little things here and there. The run game, creating that home field, creating that excitement, and Raider Nation is always going to show up and show out. We understand that. They're going to be loud. But this is a real opportunity to give a base at home, create that foundation now at home that...
Which they did the last two games of last year.
Good point.
The waylaying of the Chargers, and then they won convincingly, right, against the Broncos. Yeah. I don't remember the score off the top of my head, but I remember that it was a convincing win. So those are examples of the Raiders taking care of business against inferior opponents and not making it a, oh my gosh, they survived, woohoo. I mean, that's not going to get it done this week. I don't think the fans... They'll be happy with a win, of course, but to quote Devontae Adams, it also needs to look the way it needs to look.
Right,
and that's on the Raiders to make that happen. It's on them. I don't have any questions about the defense, and I think there's a good chance. I'm not a shutout, maybe.
Oh, I can't believe he said it.
This is the type of game where you might be able to do that.
We're all thinking
10 points or under
for
sure.
We're all thinking it,
and
though.
Maybe even score one. I don't want to put too much pressure. Jack Jones, I'm sure he welcomes that, no doubt about it, because I know he's itching to get one.
What about the Red Rifle though? Who?
Yeah.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, but
Spillane across the middle.
I just feel like, and he'll give them he'll know what to get him into and get him out of and how to attack. I mean, he's done this a million times. But that offensive line is not going to give him much help. This is a really bad offensive line, and I think that we're past the point of, gosh, is this Raider defense legit? Yes, it's legit. You know, from the inside, from the outside, Max Crosby has a chance to really go off in this game, and wouldn't you want to do it more than anything, you know, in front of the home crowd? So this is ripe for the taking for the Raiders, but I do think, if you're talking about the evolution of this team and this program and this culture, taking care of business in a way that they should is an important part of this component.
Yeah, because I don't think you're going to see letdowns or trap games in this situation. Number two, because of 2 points, Antonio Pierce hasn't allowed that. He's shown that when he became interim head coach, there could have been classic letdowns. After a 3-0 loss, mm-hmm. 4 days later, he scored 62 points. Mm-hmm. And after that, there could be a letdown because of the big Thursday night win, and there isn't. You go and beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
You know, the Raiders.
And great defense.
100%. And speaking of that defense, you know, Raiders win the toss. I think Antonio Pierce likes to start on defense. Obvious tone setters.
Yeah.
This week, if they win the toss, I think they like to start on offense. I mean, that's what I would do.
You talked about the hot hand.
This week, you just talk about you know, we know the defense is the tone setter.
Sure.
But give
the offense an extra possession in the first half?
Say, hey, you know what? Go get us some points on this opening drive. Go get it done right now. Hey, offensive line. I've been in your ear for 2 weeks,
yeah.
All training camp. Let's go. And if JPJ is on the field, if Jackson Powers Johnson,
the crowd will be delirious.
I'm sticking to the frenzy.
I'm going to stick to the script.
Because
what I'm thinking of, short field on a turnover early on. And get the ball to start the third quarter.
Yeah, an extra possession in the second half.
I am so into that.
In the second half, you are hoping that this game is over.
Well, that's great.
Right?
No doubt. But I'm playing defense first. I'm going with my bread and butter.
Against a
backup quarterback, basically, Andy Dalton.
That's what I mean. Let him sit there.
Let him bask in the glow of Raider Nation
as Gardner Minshew and Zamir White are just marching down the field
on the way for that shutout. Speak it into existence. On the other side, coming up next, Sam and Ash, Injury Law, usual weekly segment with Ash, the attorney. And we'll talk about a strange story talking about jury duty scams targeting Las Vegas locals. It's next.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker, Vinny Bonsignor, and Vince Sapienza.
Now you hear the music. You know it's time on a Wednesday to get street legal with Sam and Ash Injury Law with Ash Watkins at Ash the Attorney on X every Wednesday at this time. Get the new phone number, 702-303-3333, samandashlaw.com, because you deserve what's right. Ash is here with us. Ash, thank you for joining us. All right, just real quick, as we were talking about last week, how exciting it was to have Tom Brady to go and do the Dallas Cowboy games, and all the Ash Cowboys are 1-1. All right, what happened? Because Derek Carr is never supposed to do that ever again.
I know. Gosh.
He played the Saints. That's a dub in the win column. What happened there?
I don't know. I think the Cowboys defense just wasn't quite where it needed to be. And ultimately, I'm just very glad my NFL season depression is started in week two. You know, it hasn't gotten my hopes up too high. And then I'm just also a little bummed that I had to pay to watch that game through Sunday tickets. So it's just like insult to injury right there for me, Clay. But look, I'm happy for Raider Nation. 1-1 after week two. Great upset for the team against Baltimore. Look, all around, there was some lows and some highs for me this weekend.
Thanks to the Raiders for softening up the Ravens as they limp into the Cowboys game. So this is going to be great because Tom Brady is going to continue to do these games it'll never stop. But how do you feel like so far as having Tom in his progress of constantly doing these games, but also finding a way to put more spotlight on a game that is probably the game of the week in many regards, Ravens-Cowboys?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a great game. Both teams are coming off losses, so it's set to be a stunner. Whether Tom Brady is drawing a crowd, I'm not certain of, but I think he's doing a great job so far. After week two, you know, he adds to the program without distracting. It's not too much. It's
right.
Not too little. I think he's, for, look, being 2 weeks in, he's holding his own and he's taking it very seriously, and I'm happy with it. Are you like it?
He's coming into his own. Like you said, he's finding his voice. That's the most important thing, because you're not going to be that person that, you know, there's going to be these elongated spaces when you're supposed to talk and you forget to talk, or you're every time you do say something, it's relevant and it actually helps support where the game is going and it's not taking away from it. So the less is more approach is kind of good, instead of having to be this big bombastic personality that has to take over everything. He's not doing that at all.
No, not at all. And in any job where you have to do some level of speaking, I'm sure it's true with the radio, I know it's true in law firms, you have to find your own voice, your own approach, how you accomplish the goal, how you say certain things. You can listen to others, hear everyone else's flow, and then you got to make it your own. And he's doing that right now.
This is a strange story, and we're speaking with Ash from Sam and Ash Law, samandashlaw.com. If you're hurt in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-303-303. 3333. There's a jury duty scam targeting Las Vegas locals, and it's about a threatening phone call saying you may soon be arrested for failing to show up for jury duty, and it's hitting everybody. And you know what? This is causing a lot of consternation because everybody knows if you've ever had jury duty or you get the summons, you try to call the phone number, you got to call it at certain times. You're mostly going to deal with machinations and not a real person on the other end. So how do you feel this is starting to really start to go over the entire county? Because not everybody's getting word on this and everyone's kind of in a panic mode.
Yeah, look, these scams are getting more sophisticated and it's terrifying. But I always advise people when you get any sort of message that is asking for sensitive private information, detailed personal vehicle information, anything that normally is something you keep close to the vest, do not give it up. Confirm, listen to the message, then call the entity and say, I received this message. Is this true? And that will help you sort through whether or not it's a legitimate voicemail or not. These are scams. These are things that we just need to spread and make people aware of that you don't think they're real. Do not just call back the number on the message. Go online, get the actual message for Metro, for the courthouse, and call that entity and make sure that something is legitimate.
It might take a while before this begins to get prosecuted, but finally somebody owns up and say, all right, we found out who is doing this, because they're asking for very specific things. They want to ask you about, all right, your vehicle information. What time will you be arriving at their office? What route are you traveling? Why do you think they're asking this specific information?
Look, I have no understanding of why, but if my guess is it will tell them when you leave home, you know, and it might make you a little susceptible to a home robbery, home invasion. It might make you susceptible to a vehicle break-in. Those are things to just be careful of. The less other people know about your whereabouts is generally better. So I can't really get into the minds of what these scammers are thinking or what they want the information for. It's one of those things also that you anticipate they're not local. So this is something overseas or somewhere. It's going to be difficult to track down, but I'm optimistic and hopeful that our government officials will and law enforcement officials will be able to conduct a thorough investigation, get to the bottom of it, and get the message out so our citizens don't get impacted by it.
702-303-3333. If you're hurt in a crash, call Sam and Ash. 702-303-3333 here on Raider Nation Radio on these Wednesdays. There was on Thursday night, Tua Tagovailoa was concussed on a play. It's his third known concussion right now in the NFL. And now he's been placed on injury reserve. He will not come back until the earliest at week 8. Raiders will see him in week 11, possibly. But what do you think about this? In this time that he has off to go and like deal with no stress, to kind of recover, there are certain stipulations in his contract that if he retires voluntarily, he is guaranteed nothing of $124 million. If he goes to a specialist and the specialist recommends he can't play, he does get the money. So he can never voluntarily retire because of the money equation. What do you think of that as far as like these stipulations in certain contracts, especially at this level for concussions?
Look, contracts, especially involving performance at a high level, these are things that everyone takes into account. A lot of people have insurance over various aspects of their body to protect them from any damage. I think right now, the most important thing for Tua is to really focus on his long-term health, not a financial situation. After a certain amount of money, it becomes, I think, just excess. And, you know, there's investments that he can put the current money and proceeds he's already earned in to make sure that him and his family and his extended family are taken care of. This is just one of those things where you've got to really put your health and your family interactions ahead of everything else.
And speaking of special provisions and contracts, Jay Glazer of Fox Sports talked about the Deshaun Watson contract and his guaranteed money. He added that previous protections that were put in place so Watson would not lose the guaranteed money, that has been taken out in the offseason. And if he was suspended in the 20 or 23 season campaigns, but now, after all that is done, if he is ever suspended again going forward, they could go back, the Browns, and get some of those guarantees and that money. How do you think this will play out for Watson? Because now all of a sudden with the bad play, the timing is very unusual that another lawsuit is now pending for him.
Yeah, I don't know about the timing of it all. Some people are suspecting that the Browns are actually the ones behind leaking this lawsuit to, you know, because they have a vested interest in getting out of this contract for as cheaply as possible. But if the Browns didn't take all of the necessary precautions to protect its financial stability and potential financial implications of a situation like that, it's foolish. They took a risk by signing Deshaun Watson after everything he went through legally while he was with the Texans. So for them to enter a contract that wouldn't have, you know, these parachute out clauses for them, that would be really, really foolish. And I would tell them they need to get some new in-house counsel.
702-303-3333. 702-303-0333. SamandAshLaw.com. It's awesome having you on, Ash. Thank you so much for coming on today. Let's do it again next week.
Always, Clay. Have fun.
Thank you. Follow her on X at Ash the Attorney. We're out of time. Coming up next, it's Rich Eisen here on Raider Nation Radio. For Vince, for Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Personal.